Hey guys, it's Jennifer from the Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 434. We have our co-hosts tonight. We've got Corey with us. How's it going?
This is going to be the best episode ever. We get to talk about shooting civilized, Jen. I'm real good.
Some civilization
All
sometimes.
right.
And our how many matches did you shoot this weekend?
One. But technically, I shot two divisions.
You're
So
so
I'm two.
slacking lately.
God.
Don't know what's wrong with you lately. You're just slacking. I'm very disappointed in you. Our other co-host, Greg Cannon, how's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
It is a crazy week. Very, very crazy week. But yeah, we're hanging in there. It's almost Wednesday. I've only been in the fetal position like twice this week so far. So we're good. It's good. And our guest of the hour that everyone really wants to hear from, we've got Sam Carlson with us from Thunder Beast Arms. How's it going, Sam?
Good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So, for anybody that is unfamiliar with you, we always like our guests to kind of introduce yourself a little bit. So, introduce yourself, tell us how you got into shooting and what you do at Thunder Beast Arms.
Okay. My name's Sam Carlson. I was actually stationed in Fort Hood. I was a tanker in the Army for my contract. And once I got out, I had, trouble finding my footing or finding my belonging. And this is like 2018, and I ended up getting a, it was some sniper book that had all the details and like info about ballistics. And it kind of put me into a rabbit hole because I was a gunner on an Abrams M1A2. And it was as simple as ranging a target and sending a giant Sabo round. And you don't have to think about any ballistics. The computer just does it for you. So
Heck
after
yeah.
being out for a while, I like really, really wanted to know, like, man, how's that possible? How's the computer know how to do that? Like, is there a smaller form that I could actually like practice this? So, I've been around firearms, growing up. My dad always had, I guess you could say, like the typical SKS or, 1911 and real basic, inexpensive firearms, and got, familiar with those. And then in the Army, being a tanker, we have to be able to master all of our equipment. So I ended up getting a Remington 700 Tactical 308, and my first mistake was buying like 147 grain FMJs. And I go to sight it in at 100 yards, and I'm shooting a group like this. I'm like, why is this not accurate? So it put me into a rabbit hole to read more and then figure out, like, oh, everyone uses like 168s or 175s. And then looked at the price of ammo. It's like, man, how do people afford to do this all the time? So before even looking into ammo, I already looked into like reloading and figured that out. And then was able to like consistently get it figured out, and I'd only shoot to 100 yards. And then I was like, well, what's it take? What do I have to do to, shoot further, like 400 yards, 500 yards? And I started with one of those primary arms ACSS, like 4-14 scopes that has
Yeah.
the holdover reticle. And I was so sold on it from some YouTube guy that says, like, oh, you don't even have to do anything. You just put it on the four mark and it'll just line up. Well, every firearm is different, right? So, like, I was getting frustrated, like I'm aiming at 400 and it's, shooting like a mil low. Like, what is going on? So I just ended up in this giant rabbit hole to where finally developed a load, figured out, got a different scope to let me hit targets. Consistently was hitting targets, and there was no matches in the area at this time. Like, there were very few and far between. And then I got bored. I'm like, well, this is cool hitting steel, but like there has to be more to this. So I ended up like scouring, got on Sniper Side, and found out that there would be like a match every couple months in like Q Creek. Tad Anderson and Pete Kneipp ran this event in Wyoming, and then Pawnee, where a lot of the Mile High and like Frank from Sniper Side, they would go to this match. And it wasn't too often. It was like every other month. It wasn't often. go there for my first time, no help whatsoever, with a sock full of sand and 2 5-round mags, and just trying to get through it. And didn't do so hot, but it like put a drive in me more, like, well, I really want to do this. And ever since then, I've been in like this constant rabbit hole in terms of, you know, yeah, the shooting part is cool, but like the whole other, you know, part of shooting sports, you know, there's a whole other factor that comes into play. And that's really what has intrigued me, you know, still to this day. I still am tweaking loads, or like, let's buy this box of bullets. I'm sure I can get them to work, or let's see if they work.
I love the science behind it too. It's fun.
Yeah. So that's kind of my background. I do work for Thunderbeast Arms. I do wear quite a few different hats. When I started, I did a lot of the shipping. That's kind of where I started. And then I went to sales and tech support. And then the owners approached me. They said, like, well, you run your social media pretty good, like for your personal one and your match, like, why don't you run ours? And I'm like, that'd be awesome. So I've been doing that on top of sales and tech support. And I also, the engineers would be like, hey, will you go test this cam this weekend? You're going to a match. You want to shoot it? I'm like, sure, let's do it. So I wear quite a few different hats. And then I go to events, like I did in the Precision Rifle Expo. I go to a bunch of PRS matches to compete, but also, you know, demo stuff and just kind of be a representative there.
That is very cool. So Thunderbeast Arms is known for machining and titanium, but what makes the suppressors unique and specific for precision versus any other suppressors that are out there?
So when Thunderbeast started, it was started, the three owners are Shane, Zach, and Ray. They all were competitive shooters that shot long range matches. It was more field matches when they started. This is like, you know, in the 2000s era.
Yeah.
And they were all AI guys and wanted like the best systems. And so like, well, why don't we make a titanium suppressor that, you know, is made for precision? And ever since then that they started, it is just has grown and grown to where, you know, there's tons of great suppressor companies out there for all kinds of different platforms. But I would have to say, like, when it comes to precision rifle, I want to say, and I'm trying to be humble about it, we are, you know, top tier in terms of the precision rifle world. In terms of the machining, like our QC processes and our machining is, we're so attention to detail. Like, we make hundreds and hundreds of suppressors, and it's a tedious process, but after every suppressor is made, we chuck it in a lathe and we check run out. So a typical suppressor that is not ours, I won't put any names or anything, we're not about fashion companies, but typically good run out is like anywhere from our, what we think is good is like, you know, 1 to 5 thousandths, up to 10 thousandths would be okay. But you're typical other suppressors run out is going to be like 20 to 30 thousandths. So basically all that means is when you have that suppressor on your barrel, that it's going to be canted and that bullet's not going perfectly in the center of that bore, which if it's hugging tight to one side, you'll get turbulence, which could lead to accuracy issues.
Which is absolutely buck wild when you're talking about a 9-inch suppressor. Like,
yeah. So our 50 cal suppressor that we just, which you got to shoot, you want to guess the run out on the first batch? And that's,
was it under 5? Because that's freaking insane.
4 thou.
Oh, freaking cool.
I think it's 22.5 inches. Sorry, I'm not on my work computer. Yeah. And we have so many new cans. It's so hard to keep up with sizes and lengths, but 4 thousandths on a huge suppressor.
Yeah. And one thing you guys have kind of always been known for is putting up really cool pictures of engineering stuff, like welds with titanium before you go to coating. And that's just,
those are so
for cool. Guys that see that, yeah, like Greg, that's prime.
Yeah, and that's what made it easy going to Thunderbeast. So the four Thunder Beast. I was a peer support specialist at a rehab facility, so I helped guide people in recovery from substance abuse issues.
Okay.
So I got pretty good personal skills, and I was already doing my match and getting kind of big into this. And then Ray approached me. He's like, "Hey, you want to come work for us?" And I'm like, and before even going there and like my first match, like everyone had like an Ultra 7 or an Ultra 5, and reading up on everything, like I already knew that, and watching like top tier shooters, like you got to think from 2015 through like 2019, like the majority, even PRS matches, was suppressed. Or NRL matches.
Yeah.
So I already knew that the product was super good, and it made it easy to go in there and then actually see the processes and see how we do everything and how finicky we are with, you know, if there's a suppressor that has the slightest imperfection, like they don't even hesitate to, you know, trash it and start over.
Yeah.
And that's what
so it you. You mentioned a whole bunch of new suppressors, and I'm holding what I think is one of the older models. This is the Dominus. You guys released the Magnus last year?
That was two years ago.
2 years ago. Okay. Sorry. NFA wait times.
Get it right.
So tell me about the race ready version, because that one is pure freaking magic. I shot it at the event, right? Just what made you guys want to do that? Because it's perfect for what I want in a can.
Well, so for like that Magnus that you have, and I'm probably off by like a month or two, but it was about 2 years ago when we released it. And I primarily, they let me test it and take it to matches. And I ran it, you know, on six dasher mostly. And it was funny going to 2 days and people like ROs are like, our shot timer's not picking this up. Like,
oh, no.
And I was like, I don't care about the time. Don't worry about it. Just count my score and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And that thing was, you know, I was blown away by it and was blowing people away. And, you know, I still use that if I'm shooting dasher, it just doesn't move a lot. And I just like total quiet or like, I'm going to go practice. I used a Magnus. So we, you know, we released that, and then, you know, Curtis and Sutherland are engineers. They, we're thinking about like, well, what would we do? I mean, we already have really, really good suppression. Like we have some of the best suppression out there. Like started seeing trends, like in the last couple of years, you go to a PRS match or NRL match, everyone has a muzzle brake.
Yeah.
And muzzle brakes are fantastic for recoil reduction. You know, prior to working at Thunder Beast, I ran an APA brake.
Okay.
You know, it's super nice if you're shooting off a bag and you basically free recoil it and your reticle settles back on the target pretty easy, but the concussion is not super fun. I myself, I have, you know, some pretty bad TBI from the Army, and shooting 1 days, I'd notice I'd be a little wore out. And then when I started doing 2 days more, I'd notice, you know, day two, I'm getting pretty taxed.
Yeah.
So since everyone is wanting recoil reduction, they came up with an idea to, well, what if we put a brake on the end of the suppressor to, you know, still get good suppression and get recoil reduction in the same process. So I think it was actually this time last year, they handed me a prototype, which is basically the Mag SRR. So it's 8.4 inches long. Curtis just cut it and welded it on Friday, and then me and him took it to a 1 day match in Laramie the next day.
Yeah. And
it was a decent turnout there. I think there was like 35 or 40 people, and you know, we know the majority of everyone there, and we brought enough ammo for them to try it out and test it, and you know, everyone was kind of blown away. You know, there Curtis was trying to pitch it like, hey, I think this is really going to take off, let's do it. So they let me, you know, they get another variation of the brake and let me try it, or another variation of the can, to see where they'd need to change it in terms of suppression and recoil reduction, because, you know, it's hard to have both. You know there's no free lunch, so
nope,
basically having a brake, you're gonna give up significant suppression. So the next couple months kept testing different ones. And then I'd have to ask for permission because we haven't released anything or not even sure if we're going to do it. And I took it to, I think, the Hornady PRC. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, go shoot it and have fun. And I wasn't told any guidelines. So when the award banquet was going on, I had it in my pocket. And I was like going around to everyone and showing them and getting their feedback of what they would think. And then one of my buddies like, hey, let me look. And everyone's talking at me like too much is going on. He's like, hey, could I see that real quick? I'm like, yeah, here you go. He was just standing right next to me. Snapped a picture. And
naughty.
And that got posted on the hide and got, you know, shared around quite a bit. And the amount of feedback we got, you know, it was kind of like a no choice that we had to, you know, start testing it more and try to make one.
Yeah.
And it was unbeknownst to me, like, this is the model that I've been using that I really like. And I thought this was going to be like, oh yeah, we'll release the brake cannon, it'll be good. And after doing more testing, you know, the owners decided like, well, why are we going to only make one model? Why don't we make like a short, a long, you know, a 338 with it? Why don't we do like a shorter 338 can with it? Why don't we do a 375 can with it? And So now, like, if you go to our website, to the product page of the Magnus line, we have that poster, and I think it added like 42 new SKUs because this one's in a CB model. We also offer it in SR and hub.
Yep.
And then you can get this without the brake. You could just be a solid can with a welded flat cap. We're not making interchangeable flat caps or anything. You know, you just get to choose with the brake or without. And That is basically how this started. And the amount of feedback we've gotten from everyone, it seems like a really hot thing. And I can't really get behind a product if I don't think it works. In my last year of just using one of these exclusively, it does work.
Yeah, it definitely reduces recoil. But as like a guy that's in an engineering related field, making something and then going out and testing it in the field the next day, that is my absolute favorite way to see if it works or not. Because you're either going to break it really fast and know it didn't work, or it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I broke a couple of these.
It's the only way you get better, though, right? If you don't break them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I'd be scared if I was developing something and didn't break some of the first, second, third iterations of it, because I know someone out there will break it. Really well.
That's probably my favorite part of my job, of designing something, developing it, and then figure out how it's going to get broken and see if I can do it. It's real fun.
Yeah.
Let's send some lives real quick. We got a few people over in the comments. First one from Mike Bell. He said, thank you for supporting the NRL22. I know every month on the live show, when we're watching, everybody's excited to get some Thunder Beast Arms cans because there's several that you guys give away to the NRL22 every month. So thank you for that.
Oh, we appreciate it. I know there was we appreciate, you know, supporting the NRL22 and all the big leagues. And we get countless emails and messages of people, even if they don't win something, showing their appreciation. And I can't thank you guys enough. To how much that kind of means to the company. Even if, you know, someone can't respond to your email just due to the volume, just know that we do see it. We do appreciate it. Your support.
And then William asked, what's better for a PRS rifle, direct thread or muzzle brake QD? And then what about an AR, and what would be the best one can for a guy who shoots PRS and ARs, but nothing bigger than a 30 cal?
That's a tough one. Since we have so many new models, I could basically make every model work for his application. But to the first part about direct thread versus like a CB or an SR mount, all of our CB or SR mounts are made to be red Loctited onto the barrel with red Loctite 272. It's like a high temp Loctite. And the way our engineers designed the tapered interface is when you tighten that suppressor on, it gets a solid lockup and it's way less likely to walk off. Direct thread suppressors, whether they're ours or anyone else, they're just known to back off sometimes.
Yep.
So I always try to tell people to get a CB or an SR. His suppressor for PRS and 5.56. Well, Corey kind of showed it. Didn't you put that Magnus on a gas gun? Or you put
I've had both the Magnus, I'll pull that one off, and the Dominus on the gassers. So Magnus, big boy, Dominus. They've been on 308s like this one. But yeah, I have never had an SR mount come loose, and that's with like 3-gun rates of fire through a 308. Yeah. They're awesome.
Well, that's what's awesome about it is it's a hard use suppressor that you can run on those gas guns. And then you could pop it onto a precision bolt gun and get the same accuracy that you get, you know, out of all our suppressors.
Yeah. I love the Magnus on the Dasher. I get so many compliments on that. It's wild how quiet it is.
I'm sure the ROs love you.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them.
Especially the ones stuck in like the Connex stage or something like that.
Oh.
Well, it's nice for ROs to get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, say they get like a squad or two of like, you know, giant breaks for a little bit and they have to get up there and close and everything. Like, they're relieved to see like a squad come through with more suppressors to just kind of give them a break.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years ago at the Gap Grind, the Mud Fest. I was super thankful that I was ROing that whole weekend in the Connex. So I was dry. Like, I don't think I even put on my rain suit. Like, you know, just having a great time, besides for the fact that, like, I was losing, like, my brain's ability to function. And every time someone would come in and shoot suppress, when they were done, I'd just like, I'd like to thank you for being civilized and giving my brain a rest from getting exploded.
Like the picture of me shooting Gap Grind with my break, and I'm laying next to Brian Johnson and Ryan Hay, and they're both like this in the picture, laying prone next to me.
So someone asked for clarification over in the comments and said the SR mount is more repeatable for POI versus direct thread.
If it's our suppressor, like whether it's if it's ours that's direct thread or the SR, you'll get the same repeatability. Even before we started doing CB and SR, like, we just made direct thread suppressors. And that was our whole selling point, is making a perfectly machined suppressor to guarantee repeatability. So, you know, when you zero with it on, take it off and put it back on, you know, you want that repeatability. And especially if you're going to a match, let's say you don't get time to go to the zero board. It's super important that you could trust that your suppressor is going to return to zero.
Agreed. So why do you think so many competitors are switching to suppressors over muzzle brakes?
You know, brakes have always been good, and I don't want to dog the shooters that use them, because I mean, they work really, really well. And what I hear from people, you know, being a match director, going to a bunch of 2 days a year, is some people are just built different. Like, the concussion just affects them differently. So people will still want to compete and compete at the high level. Obviously, recoil on a muzzle brake versus a suppressor, they're just two different animals. Like, a muzzle brake is kind of like a fast, violent, you know, punch. You can recover super quick, as a suppressor is an elongated, soft push, which there'll be recovery time differences, especially depending on who's driving the rifle or how they're, you know, rushing, taking a shot. But basically, I think people are just getting taxed after shooting a whole day with a break. Let's say anytime I shot with a break, or I'm shooting with a 2-day match with a bunch of break people, I have to have foamies in And then over the ear muffs, my ears hurt all day from wearing those. And then, you know, I'm still feeling the concussion kind of like in my body, even if I'm, you know, putting my dope card on my rifle and they're shooting right there, like I'm getting blasted pretty good.
Yeah, no fun. So,
yeah, so we're trying to meet in the middle. Like we're offering, the new RR series is offering decent suppression where you're comfortable at the shooter, even people around you are going to be comfortable, while still getting an edge on recoil reduction. And I get it, like top shooters, they want to use brakes and they're great with them. Like, yeah, I don't want to take anything away from them because they can take it and still, you know, podium at the matches. But, you know, for other people, like some people just, I mean, I don't like the concussion, you know, I'm on my like ninth concussion. So I definitely don't like concussion.
Yeah. We actually, last match that we had, 80 shooters, a guy running suppressed was first, third was suppressed. So we have a whole squad of suppressed guys. They seem to be doing pretty well. So I think once more people go back to the suppressors, with the BRs and kind of the 20-pound rifles, I think it's an advantage on day two. I really do. I think I'm way more into the match and way less thinking about like the drive home and how much it's going to hurt.
Yeah, I first started doing 2 days, I think in 2019, I did my first one, which was an NRL match in Cody, Wyoming. And then the following year, like just shoot muzzle brake, go into a couple of them. My scores weren't super great. I'm still like new, but I was noticed like I was pretty taxed. And then this last year where I actually, first year I've like ever tried to chase PRS points and be more of a part of it. I actually feel like I shot pretty decent. You know, at Raton, I think I got like 21st or 22nd. Box Canyon the suppressed only PRS match, which is amazing. And he always gets anywhere from, you know, 170 guys to like 200, which is pretty awesome. And to have everyone suppressed is good. But his match, I seem to always do pretty good. Like I've been in the 30s, I think both times.
Nice. Yeah, that match fills up quick. I think a lot of the suppressed guys around the U.S. really, really look forward to it.
Yeah, I would like to see more. And I think it's possible. It is hard to like force someone like, well, you need to get a suppressor. And I mean, they have loaner suppressors and stuff like that. And usually if they're shooting with a buddy, they can, you know, get it figured out. But I like seeing it. I think it's fun for my monthly match. You know, in October, I usually do a suppressed only match. Just because it's fun. Nice. And, you know, different.
Yeah.
Well, if you're October, shooting suppressed and everyone else is not, then.
Then you're better than them, right?
Well, but it's not as fun because, you know, then you still got to wear ears and it takes away a little bit of the advantage. So it's nice to have a suppressed only match where they can just go with no ears. And
yeah, it sounds kind of like some NRL 22 vibes going on.
Oh, yeah.
You can talk like a human, you know, we could converse like this. We don't have to scream.
Yeah, I like the communication part too. So if I'm at that suppressed only match, like it's just way easier and you're not like trying to talk or like people are like lifting up their ears just to talk to you for a second and then trying to hurry to put them back on. It's just nice. You know, as a better vibe. And then the firing line, like when you're zeroing on Friday on signing day, it's a lot more relaxed and you're always like strategically planning, like, all right, there's brakes are filling up that line. I see one guy suppressed over there. I'm going to go over there. Just so I'm not, you know, when you get your rifle next to him and you're kind of getting blasted, is not super fun.
So we're about at the midpoint of the show. Remember, if you're watching us live on Facebook, ask any questions you may have in the comments section of the video. We'll ask it live on air. Other ways to catch us, you can always check back on the Shooter's Mindset Facebook page. The videos stay up there forever, and we usually upload to all the podcast apps the night after the show. Then finally, everything eventually ends up on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page, so that's a great place to look up past episodes.
So talking about matches, we're talking about like suppressed only matches, kind of bigger matches in the country. You obviously run kind of a local match. What do you think makes a match successful, like just in general?
It's since doing it for the last couple of years, it's changed here and there. When I first got into it and like shot a couple of the local ones, the course of fire never really changed. Like it was very almost the same every month. So when I took it over, I'm like, well, I want to change it, you know, I want it to be different. I want people to not expect what's happening. And then I tried to set it to where, because at the time it was hard for me to sell my wife on, you know, going to matches quite a bit when, you know, you're gone a whole Saturday.
Right.
So what I like to do is make smaller squads and have a little bit earlier start time and like to get people out early so they still have the majority of their Saturday with their family. So to me, that's what,
I like that.
What I think a good match is. Like, I think this last weekend we finished before 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And I've been at some like local one day matches where sometimes you're not leaving their range to like 4 or 4:30.
Ooh, no.
And it just is kind of taxing. So I, you know, having it run good, you know, you can't help target failures. You know, they're bound to happen. Someone's going to smoke a T-post perfectly in the center. So I think I want to say having it relaxed is really good, but also not too relaxed where people are not focusing on safety.
Right.
Like I try to make it feel like everyone's welcome. People get a squad with whoever they want. If there is inexperienced guys, that I get them with experienced guys and make sure that they have a good time. You know, I definitely don't have what you guys have. I'm not able to, you know, get food each time, but I'll get waters and Gatorade and, you know, bring donuts every now and then. And yeah, we got a couple really good donut places here. So, you know, sometimes we bring them out.
Those power rings go a like, long way in the morning.
Yeah. And I know it's, you know, like I said, like a relaxed match where everyone is, you know, having fun, although it's a match and competitive. Like I want people to compete and everything. I just like to be relaxed and everyone to feel welcome and that they're not rushing. I usually stage squads, so like no one bunches on anyone or feels like they're being rushed. When I started, some match directors would force someone to run a tablet or a score sheet for the whole squad. So they'd be in charge of spotting and scoring, and they did it the whole match. And I didn't like that too much. For one, I got stuck doing it, which was fine because, you know, I like to be dependable and whatnot. So I have a rule that nobody is a designated squad mom, that everyone shares it equally. There's one person keeping time, two spotters, someone keeping score. And I forget how we rotated it, but it was, if you're the last shooter of that stage, you're going to keep score for that stage.
Okay. I like that. I like that because it's very laid out. And then the next guy shooting knows exactly what he's going to do, and they have to be efficient to get all their data for the next stage and everything.
Yeah. So everyone gets equal time to prepare for a stage. So, you know, there was so many matches I went to where I ended up being a squad mom that I didn't have, you know, an eighth of the time that they did to like get wind angles and get dope and weird, you know, angles that we're shooting. I basically like, well, I don't have time to do a wind dope, so I'm just putting elevation and then I'm just going to run it. And, you know, that frustrated me for a little bit. So when I did my match, I like. We got to set some rules because I want this to be, you know, kind of equal for everyone. Everyone gets equal time to prepare for a stage and everyone helps out.
Yeah,
it seems like if you have a lot of small things that you do well, they add up. And if you host the match that you want to shoot, it ends up being a really good match.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
I think a match director can make or break a match. I like what you said about getting people out early. I think one of my pet peeves about matches is like when you go and they start late. Okay, that is first thing. If I got out of bed, if I could have slept 30 minutes longer and I didn't because I was here on time and then you're going to be late starting, it just annoys me because I like my sleep. And then if it just, you know, you end up, it backs up and you end up having to sit and wait while a whole squad in front of you goes because it the way that the stages were laid out. That's frustrating, or you know, where it's just everybody's moving slow, the RO's moving slow, you know, all that. I like to get through. I like to have fun, but I like to get through. So I've been at some matches that didn't finish until like 6 o'clock. That's a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, Jen, to your point, a good match director has been to enough matches that they have that experience to know where those little efficiencies are. Like if you have an 8-stage match, you should probably be running 35 to 40 minute cycle times. So 35 to 40 minutes per stage, you can kind of plan it out. You can plan out where you think a target might go down and how long that's going to take. Plan out when lunch happens and how much slower post lunch stages are before the pre-lunch stages. And yeah, you can plan everything out and kind of have a pretty efficient, you know, 8-10 stage match that gets done 8 stages and, you know, call it 8 to 1, 2 o'clock, 10 stages till 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So we talked about what makes a good match director. So that might be one of your answers to this question. But as a shooter, what do you look for when you're deciding like what matches you want to go to? Is it the food like Corey? Or is it the location or the efficiency? What are your favorite things to look and pick a match for?
Location plays a little bit of a part of it. I know some people, you know, deal with the hands that are dealt in terms of properties, like if they have just a square range and that's what they can use. I've seen plenty of people, like a person of our league, Chris Davis, has a square range. In Rawlins, Wyoming, and he makes that thing perfect. As big a field fires as you can get, it runs efficiently. You know, tons of targets on each stage, so he makes up for it. You know, if you have a venue that limits you in some ways, well, then you can figure out ways to make it better, and that's kind of what he does. So that's what I kind of enjoy. What I look for is venue and also, like, if a match director has a really good reputation, like that's kind of all I need. That plays a big part. Like I know time conflicts all the time for any time that there's the PRS 2-day Texas, but I hear nothing but great things about that, you know, match. So I'm already sold on going, just, you know, crossing my fingers that we can get some time to line up and not conflict.
I don't know about that match director though.
No, I hear if you're a big guy, he doesn't give you tacos until last, or maybe he gives them to you first.
I do like tacos.
Oh, I love tacos.
Tacos are
speaking of conflicts, Greg. We got to work that one out. You'll have to
get
out.
It is Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, so.
Ooh.
Maybe what we could start doing on the show now, since it is Tuesday, we could have our viewers DoorDash us tacos to eat.
You have 48 different tacos show up at your door one day.
Literally, like, you know how people have dreams of mansions and perfection and like yachts? 48 totally different tacos showing up at my door is one of those dreams for me.
think it's funny. One day he messaged a group and said, I guess I'm having McDonald's for lunch. And it was a picture of McDonald's on his front porch that like was not his, but just got delivered there. And it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something. And he sent that to, I guess, all your work friends. And I was on it. And I said, I wrote it on the side and I said, that looks like it was delivered at 11 o'clock last night on the receipt. It says 11 p.m. And he's like, maybe I'll throw that away.
Listen, I walked there. I was getting ready to go set up for my match. And I just backed the truck up to the trailer. And as I'm backing up the driveway, I'm like, what is that on my porch? And I walk around and, you know, I see the golden arches and I'm like, oh, somebody loves me. And I look and there's a 10-piece chicken McNugget with double ranch and a large fry. And I'm like, oh, baby, yeah. No clue when this showed up. And like, I don't go and look at the fine print on the receipt. There's McDonald's. I didn't pay for it.
Not the first thing you did? That's the first thing I was like, what time was that delivered?
I don't even know how to do the DoorDash. So I didn't even know that there was a time on the receipt. I just saw that it said McNuggets. Where were we? So where do you see the sport 5 years from now?
I see it probably growing even more with everyone that's kind of running matches now. But like, I don't know if Corey said this online or offline about like when we typically see people get burnout or cycles of people. I see it just growing. And I don't know if you guys have got to, you know, meet and chat with Ken Wheeler. I've gotten the chance to do so and I get nothing but great vibes for him wanting. Basically, we already have two leagues in Wyoming. Western Precision Rifle and WICO PRL, and he wants nothing but our own leagues to succeed. So he lets us put PRS regionals with our other events, and he wants nothing but to grow and make it more welcoming for, you know, new shooters. So it's going this way. You know, I think I'm hoping it grows. Like, you know, I'm not in a huge area, but I want to say on average on every one day match, I probably have 1 to 5 people reaching out that are interested and want to get into the sport, and then work on scheduling them to, you know, come use the loaner rifle. So think of every one day out there, if they can start doing that, you know, those numbers are going to start getting pretty high over time.
Yeah, it adds up. And Corey,
you shoot a bunch of different matches. So my sister did like 2-gun and 3-gun, and she didn't do it very long because the people she was doing it with were not super friendly and it wasn't a super welcoming invite. Granted, Texas is different. Like, this was in Colorado. And then when she came to my match and got involved, how everyone was so welcoming and helpful and wanting to share gear or share equipment or help in any capacity. She just said it was kind of like a night and day thing.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that.
So kind of hearing her say that, and I even noticed for myself, even my first match, I was kind of quiet and kept to myself. After I went to another match or two, you know, there would be a person out there willing to, like, here, do you want to shoot this stage with my rifle? I'm like, sure. I've never shot an AI before, but sure.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head with everyone being so welcoming and kind of that being the underlying culture. Like having a match like you described where it's laid back, but you would never know you're competing against guys that are in the top 10 of the PRS points nationally. That's kind of your goal, like something for everyone. Like, guys come out, shoot with their friends. The new guy can come have fun and hit targets. The guys that want to use it as like training and proofing their practice, they can do that too. I think having something for everyone and being welcoming for everyone, I think you hit the nail on the head on all that.
that kind of bring up something that I noticed is I have a hard time getting police officers wanting to come out.
That's easy.
Like I'll get one or two and then I won't see them again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is
Oh.
your tradecraft, man. Come out here and come get some practice.
It takes one. So you need someone on either a team or something to be able to talk to other guys, because they can tell in their language why it's helpful versus us. Like, I play games. I do absolutely nothing with tactics. I have no idea how to like sell it, other than it's a freaking blast. But guys like in that field can talk to other guys in that field, and it works a lot better that way, I think.
I gotcha. Yeah, I was just curious if you encountered that too, because I'll get one or two and they'll shoot a match and, be pretty mid-pack, and then I won't see him again.
And once they have friends outside of kind of the general PD type thing, they'll be back. As long as they have fun that first time. Right. We got some secret lightning round coming up. What Thunder Beast can would you choose for each of these? So you're limited to like 2 seconds. So whatever comes to your mind. Six Dasher for PRS.
Magnus.
Seven Song for mountain hunting.
Magnus.
308 AR for pigs and deer.
Magnus SR.
Okay. 22-250 for coyotes.
Magnus SR.
10.5 inch, 300 blackout AR.
Dominus KSR. Or just a regular Dominus SR.
Okay. Glock 17.
Me personally, I just get the Fly 45 in the short configuration.
Okay. Barrett 50.
If Arcan would work, I would use Arcan, but I would be forced to use their QDL.
Okay. 13.5 AR for general purpose.
Dominus SR for sure.
And your favorite bicep exercise for growth.
So I have two twins now. So I basically just
Okay.
swaddle them and have these handles. And I just do this. And then I make my wife have to try to feed them. So while I'm doing this, so that's all I do.
It's like being rocked to sleep in Ronnie Coleman's gym.
Ronnie Coleman's a Texas guy, right?
I want to say yes, but I know he was in LA for a long, long time. But I think he's from Louisiana.
I just remember all his famous YouTube videos that everyone sees about Ain't Nothing But a Peanut. That was at a gym in Dallas, I think, or Austin.
Monroe, Louisiana is where he was born. But yes, I think that gym you're talking about might have been in Dallas.
How do you know that and I don't know that?
I have Google, and the fingers, they go fast.
Catching up on this in here. What was I about to ask? Oh, are there any lives?
Any what?
I
Oh,
think
that's for Corey and Greg to pull live questions. Any live questions?
Adam Fountine said, "Wyco match directors are built different." Don't know what that means.
I think it means
Yeah,
they're
I.
bigger.
Oh my.
He's a local shooter of ours. He shoots in our league.
Seems pretty sassy.
Oh, he is. Just go to comments anywhere.
Oh my gosh, I was reading the chat here. That's pretty
Think
funny.
that's pretty much good on lives, Jen.
Yep.
Well, for anyone watching, if you have any reloading pages you recommend on Facebook, please send them to Justin Watts. He's a fellow PRS shooter.
I heard he really wanted to join all of those groups.
He does. So if you guys
Yeah.
have that info, just send him a request. Let him make him join the group. So just keep him firing away because he really wants to know about reloading of all the cartridges he doesn't shoot.
And if he denies it or like rejects it, he probably didn't mean to. So send it again to make sure.
Yeah, maybe two or three times.
I saw that. I laughed so hard. I love him. All right. Well, I think we are good to wind it down to shout outs. We will start with Corey.
So no surprise, I'm going to shout out Thunder Beast for two reasons. Y'all have been supporting every match that I've shot since I started. And you've also always put out no BS information, like the sound metering that y'all do and the weight and length is always exactly in line with everything that you get when you buy one. So I just love that y'all put out no BS technical information. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, we appreciate that. You know, Shane Ray and Zach are huge about that. We don't want to hide anything. We want to just show what the product is and prove why we believe in it. We don't want to tell you like, the suppressor suppresses the best. You just got to take our word. No, we want to show you. And we, that Sound Summit, you know, we worked with all the other big manufacturers and we all kind of came to a general consensus so we can all basically test stuff. And, you know, we all got along so we could always like, we could just keep progressing and keep, you know, taking it to that next level. So, you know, we're fully transparent on that. Since I, the social media guy, I had to keep a camera rolling the whole time, just in case we like wanted to show like, hey, nothing's like, it's the same platform, same conditions. And it was so fun. You know, changing batteries and SD cards constantly while trying to help them swap cans and, you know, load mags. And we had like a board of all the suppressors and the data per suppressor. And we were kind of putting it like, you know, a lot of engineers are into racing, right? So like Top Gear?
Yeah.
So they were kind of like putting it on a board like that, like who was beating who. And it was like a pretty friendly competition. And I do have to say, man, there is some great suppressors out there from tons of manufacturers.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Greg, you got another live?
Yes. Michael Burns asked, Magnus SRR or Magnus KRR for 6mm PRS?
Okay. If it's a 6 Creed, I would just go with the S. If you're doing a BR variant, like BR, BRA, Dasher. I just recently started shooting the Magnus KRR, you know, because it is a little cartridge, that Mag K does suppress it pretty well. And then it makes that break work a little bit better. So in terms of recoil reduction, I really like the Magnus KRR on BR variants.
And then Mike Bell did bring up another good point. He said he saw people getting same day approvals. I know someone like tagged George in a post earlier this week. They got 3 approved in 5 hours or something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone go find my form. Sign that thing.
Well, you got to look at the time of year. You know, they're probably trying to get their averages down.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of what, and this is not TVAC related. I'm not talking as a TVAC employee. It's just a theory. You know, it's that time of year they're trying to get their averages down. So they're approving a bunch of them super fast. So, you know, I got approved one that took 13 months for my Fly 9. Got approved beginning of January, 13 months. And then someone filing the same day, you know, I got mine, they get it in 7 days. Like totally, you know, kind of BS and unfair for, you know, my own personal opinion.
But if it stays, it's good for everyone.
If it stays, this is fantastic for, yeah, just like you said, for everyone. Especially, you know, on the new product release, it did, we've always had a lead time. Like we've always had a pretty high demand and that's really, really hard to keep up. But with the new products, you know, it increased it. So we have like a 5 or 6, starting at SHOT Show, it bumped it to like 5 or 6 months. So ideally, if these approval times stay the same, like that's going to be great. Everyone's going to be able to get an RR can and be able to shoot it for like the second half of the season, depending on whatever league they're shooting, which I think is great. So one could only hope.
Yeah, they need somebody to get in there and straighten that thing out. It doesn't make sense. There's no rhyme or reason. It's like they take all the applications and throw them in a room, like just throw them, and then they just go in there and just like grab whichever piece of paper they want and they prove it. Frustrating. All right, Greg, what you got for shout outs?
Oh, I forgot we were on that part. Hunter's HD Gold, because I'm super blind and I can see real good with him. Again, all three of us have loaner sets in our bags. So if you see us out at a match, come give him a try. We'll shout out Sniper Bill. I think he's still watching us from the hospital right now. So get well soon, buddy.
All right. Sam, how about you?
My first initial shout out will probably be my wife because she has two twins and a toddler upstairs, and she
He's
is
a smart
100%
man.
supportive of me doing this stuff. So she's my first shout out. Second, I'd want to thank Corey for, having great communication with us, always sending us pictures from the matches showing how he's using the Lona rifles with our products. That's absolutely amazing, and it makes it an easy job for me. I don't have to go create content. I just like, isn't that time where Corey sends me some pictures of a match? I'm just going to use that. So he makes it easy for me. But yeah, shout out to to Thunder Beast, for hiring me and putting up with me. I really enjoy working, with the engineers and Ray and Zach. They've been nothing but supportive and awesome to me. And then, I have a new sponsor now, so XLR Industries. I want to thank them for,
Nice.
supporting me and not expecting me to put a filter on my social media. So I'm like super happy about that.
It's
Always
But that's
good.
all I got for shout outs.
I'm
What
glad
is your Instagram for guys that want to get spicy?
that Dad the Sam.
Nice.
For the most part, it's just, me and my toddler at the trampoline park, or they'll be, shooting stuff, or me and my family and stuff. But, I do like really hilarious memes, so I'll post them in my story if you guys want to check them out. They're pretty good.
Worth a
They're
It's
guaranteed to
worth a
make you laugh.
follow. Yeah,
I'm just glad to see that Corey did rank behind your wife. That
I
helps.
would hope very well behind. I would have put like 30 people, maybe 30,000 ahead of me.
No
Hey,
bromance above the wife.
if yeah, see my wife Josephine, she's the breadwinner, so she has to always be first.
Fair. That's fair.
That is fair. It's definitely fair. All right. And I just want to shout out you, Sam, for coming on and spending a couple hours of your Tuesday night with us. I know everyone's time is very valuable. So we appreciate you coming on and talking about Thunder Beast Arms and all that y'all do to support the shooting sports. And thank you for match directing. I don't think our match directors get thanked enough for it's kind of a thankless job, because everybody just complains about what went wrong. But if we didn't have match directors, we would not have a sport. So match directors and ROs both are underthanked. So thank you for all that you do for the sport, and all that Thunder Beast Arms does for the sport as well. And with that, it will be a wrap for episode 434, and we will see everybody next time.